Hey everyone!
It's us, the dynamic duo of crime.
Cat girl.
And
Julie. And Julie, boy. I don't know.
That's a fantastic
That's not right. Name. I told you I'm not creative with names. I can't do it.
We're just getting to the point. Cat girl, Julie boy, to the rescue.
Oh god, we'd make a terrible crime fighting team.
We would. Like, my laziness. So I
reached
can
an all-time
very
high.
Ambitious, but my laziness,
I
don't know if that's my Capricorn versus my Pisces, Cancer, rising moon, all that shit. It's probably something to do with that.
So it's the way the stars are aligned. Yeah,
the stars are not aligned for me to be a superhero.
Yeah, Mercury is in Gatorade.
I'm cool with that.
So this week, you know, whenever I'm setting up our little like Zencaster and Microsoft Teams meetings, I always check our little, we have a Google Doc that says what episode is coming up next. So obviously Kat doesn't tell me in advance. So I just go in and check when it's her turn so that I have just like the correct title. And this bitch switched up on me.
Because I completely forgot. I don't
the
know
the document
how.
Says that we're supposed to be doing Eileen Wuornos tonight, and I've been blindsided, and we're doing something else. So I guess in the end, Kat wins the surprise game.
I
bow down to you.
I completely forgot that I had picked Eileen Wuornos.
Yeah.
Because okay, I have like so many, you know, I have my wall of
right, your sticky notes.
My sticky note walls, yes.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my god, I need to get this case before I forget the idea. So the other day, I was scrolling through Facebook, and lo and behold, I was like, why does this woman's name and her, like, what she's known as, why does that sound familiar? And I was like, oh my god, I watched the movie based on her.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, shit, I forgot this happened. And then
you're building up the anticipation here.
I was like, oh, I forgot what happened.
Hell yes.
Ooh.
Hell yes. Oh, I'm
psyched. This
woman.
Listen, Madeline. Madeline was a bitch.
Oh,
bitch
God,
in
I'm
the
ready.
Terms of, like, a power bitch. Like, Oof. Power boss bitch.
Right, right.
But then also, like... Oh, she's just rude.
Oh, no.
She's so
power
rude
bitch gone
mean.
Wrong.
Exactly.
She's not like, you know, when a woman is a leader, they just call her bossy. Like, she was just actually
no,
a
like
bitch.
She I
or
was
like,
reading it
okay.
And I was like, okay, now you're kind of at first I was like, okay, I'm cool with what you're doing.
Yeah.
I respect, you know, what we'll get into. But Don't shit on other people for finding something that makes them happy.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
I
no,
was
you're
like,
you're going to hurt
oh,
me. I know it.
Madeline's a bitter bitch.
Oh, you're about to hurt me. I'm ready. I'm ready.
She
either that or I'm
bitch.
About to lose my goddamn mind right now. So
go crazy.
I'm ready for either. I'm ready for either emotion at this
yes,
point.
Yes. Okay. So to procrastinate doing homework when my semester started, I would be like, you know what would be a really interesting case to do? And then I, like, Google it, and then I go down the rabbit trail.
Spiral.
I'm like, oh, I need to do this one, this one, this one, this one. I'm crazy.
Oh, yeah. I understand. I understand. We're all a little English. Take a shot.
Take a shot.
We're all a little neurotic sometimes.
Yes.
And that's okay. That's
it's
what
cool.
makes us individuals.
It is. It's what makes people love our show. Please love our show.
Love us.
Please.
But yes, okay. That's all I had to say.
I'm going to tell you the story of Madeline Marie O'Hare.
Madeline Marie O'Hare.
Murray. Like, Madeline Marie O'Hare.
Okay,
sounds very
got it.
Irish.
I like it.
Yeah.
a second Irish case in a row. Let's go. We're going for a theme here.
And she was also known as the most hated woman in America.
Oh, I think I know this story.
Yeah, you might. You might. So, our little bad bitch Madeline, she was born April 13, 1919 in the good old state of Pennsylvania. And as a child, she was baptized into the Presbyterian Church. So,
as one does.
Yes. So I guess her dad was Presbyterian. Her mother was Lutheran. Like, it sounded like a, you know, family every Sunday. You go to church sort of deal. So.
Right. You don't have a choice at that point.
No.
Which I don't. My mother is like, I'm glad she doesn't listen to this, because if not, she would like just be calling me angry all the time.
Oh, but, yeah. I don't think she's going to like this episode.
Yeah.
I really don't think she is.
But, like, baptizing babies. I mean, if you do it, like, that's on you, but I don't get it. Like, they have no idea what they're committing to.
Yeah, like, she was 4 years old when she was baptized.
What does she know? What does she know? So, that
tub
was...
Tub of water. Go play.
Like, that's play my, Jesus my little... Water. My random religious rant for the episode. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're gonna
proceed.
Get that
oh,
brain
more religious
ready.
Rants.
Get that
okay,
brain
I'm ready
for more. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, she's warm. She's warming up.
Gears are turning. The gears are turning. Okay. So in 1941, she met a steel worker with the sexy John Henry Roths.
Ooh.
Yes, but it didn't work out.
Oh no, why?
And then
why didn't it work out?
So when I read this, they had like they had separated, but it was like they used World War II as an excuse to separate.
Oh, okay.
So he went
into
the Marine.
Honey, the world's ending.
Yeah. He went into the Marine Corps, she went into the Women's Army Corps, and she was stationed in Italia. Italy.
Ooh.
And as we know, Italy is a very Catholic country.
That it is.
That it is.
You know, it is where the Pope's at.
That's the Pope's house.
He's a big guy.
He's a big little guy.
I know things. He's so cute. Anyway.
So she met Officer William Murray Jr. And ooh, they got a little something going on.
You know, it's
you
a
know,
war.
The
tensions
romance
are high.
And terror of World War II. The romanticism, really, of World War II, yeah.
The romanticism. You could die tomorrow, so you might as well enjoy your life today. Trademark it, put it on a t-shirt.
Sell it and make millions.
Love it, yes.
Yes. So they, she was like real into this guy. But Murray was Catholic and would not divorce his wife.
Oh, he was married.
Our boy William was married. Technically,
damn,
Madeline was married, but it was already over, you know? So she was like, my marriage is over. You're great. And he was like, burning in hell for all of eternity by divorcing
the Catholic
my wife.
Guilt.
No.
The Catholic guilt. Not
yes.
happening.
So, this, I think, is the root of Madeline's character. Because, as her son writes in his memoir, her oldest son.
Okay.
Mother
is
came
that with
to
the
hate.
Hold on. Wait. Pause. Is that with the first husband?
So, let me clarify before I jump into his quote.
Okay.
So, they had a little whoop whoop going on. And out pops William Jr. Jr., William the Third.
Oh, so he's an extramarital baby.
He is. So, yeah, so she got pregnant, and then when she came back to the States, she went to Ohio, and that's where William the Third was born. So William the Third has a memoir, and he wrote, "Mother came to hate the Catholic Church and the Pope for preventing her marriage to a man of considerable wealth."
So not only was she a homewrecker, she was a gold digger. And she was bitter.
Our girl was getting it in World War II.
Damn, a triple threat. Truly a triple threat.
So, the war, I guess, the war ends according to historical records. World War II ended. Uh-huh. So, Madeline is officially divorced from her first husband, John. And she still can't get with hot boy William. Right. So, she does the next best thing and changes her last name to Murray, which is his last name.
So, she wasn't like actually in love with him, she was just like obsessed with him is what you're telling me.
That sounds appropriate. Yes,
she was just crazy.
That's a kind of terrifying though, like
it's the crazy ex-girlfriend scenario.
It is.
If you haven't checked out the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on Netflix, my coworker Tara, she's my old roommate, she suggested it to me like in the middle of a work call, and it is amazing.
It's so great.
And our girl sounds like she has a little bit of that little crazy ex-girlfriend tendency.
Yeah. So, yeah, she changes her last name to Murray. She has William III. He's also called Bill. So we're just going to call him Bill.
Bill.
I don't
know. Got it.
They're in Ohio. I mean, they're Southern accents in Ohio, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I only know the coasts. The whole middle part of our country is a blur to me.
It's a blur. The American education system does not prioritize anything outside of the East and West coastline. So our girl Madeline, she was a single mom during the 1940s. She did not let her stop. She did not let her stop. I can't fucking speak. She did
it's late
not
at
let
night.
That stop her. She did not let that stop her. Okay.
Yes.
Take a Good. Shot because I can't speak English.
It's so, one of those recordings, y'all. It's one of those nights.
It's one of those. So.
It's 10 o'clock on a Saturday night.
And I'm going crazy with my bottle of water.
Woo!
So she ended up getting her bachelor's degree. She ended up getting her law degree.
Queen shit.
But she didn't pass the bar exam. I don't think she really cared. Like,
she's not doing
boss bitch things right now. See, she's in her boss bitch phase right now.
Right.
It's a good phase for her.
Yeah.
So she and little Bill moved to Baltimore. Little Bill. I'm going to call
show
him
was
Little
odd.
Bill.
That show was odd.
That was. I remember watching it, though. I don't remember anything about it. Plot-wise, like, I know it's just him and his family, but I cannot remember anything else about that
Bill
show.
Bill Cosby was just, like, randomly the only non-animated person, what? I think. Or, like, he showed up just during the theme song part, but not animated. It was an animated kids TV show. And Bill Cosby, I don't know. I don't even know if he played one of the voices of, like, the dad, maybe.
He might have. Yeah, it's like one of those childhood shows that I remember watching, but I do not remember any plots.
Yeah,
like, I just remember seeing it on the TV like, oh, Little Bill.
I feel like it got popular like right as we were growing out of, I'm guessing, like Nick Jr. type shit.
Maybe. We missed a window.
Anyway, if anybody knows what Bill Cosby's role was in Little Bill, please let us know.
Please.
I would like to be an informed hoe.
So, Madeline and Little Bill move to Baltimore, and then she gets herself a new little boyfriend named Michael Fiorillo. Fiorillo?
Another Italian.
Yeah, I was about to say, she's got a thing for Italians.
Yeah, no, it's that hot Italian blood.
And she has another son with our boy Michael. Yes.
You know
John Garth Murray.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she still's got the last name,
Still got the last name of that Italian, I think he was a naval officer. So that's pretty weird. Your current girlfriend gives your kid the last name of her ex-boyfriend.
I'm not sure I'd feel okay
that
with that.
That would be like, family functions must have been so awkward. That's probably why the relationship ended.
Oh, It didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Not surprised to hear it.
But our girl Madeline, she was a wild card. Because there was a rumor that she traveled to Paris and went to the Soviet embassy to try to move there. She wanted to deflect.
Hot girl shit.
But the Soviet Union rejected her.
Damn. The Soviet Union was not having any of her shit.
They did not want Madeline. Of course, that's just a rumor. I don't know how confirmed that is. Because it literally said, there is a rumor. So I was like, okay, it's a rumor.
Okay.
So,
Madeline was on her hot girl shit, though. She really was.
And she's about to get even more on her 1960s hot girl law shit. So,
let's go.
Madeline, little Bill, and John, they move in with her mom and her brother. So she goes to enroll, I think, little Bill. She goes to enroll little Bill in school. And she hears students reciting the Lord's Prayer. And she's like, oh, prayer in public school. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she enrolled Bill. And she said, I want my son excused from this. I don't want him, you know, being forced to recite the Lord's Prayer in school. And the school said, no, no, we can't send his soul to hell. No, we're not gonna, no. He has to say the Lord's Prayer.
But separation of church and state.
So Madeline, with her law degree. Yes. Bullshit. With her law degree, she filed a lawsuit against the Baltimore public school system and named Little Bill as the plaintiff.
Yes.
And she said that mandatory prayer and required Bible reading were unconstitutional for a public school.
Sure are.
And she said, and that it threatens their religious liberty by placing a premium on belief as against non-belief and subjects their freedom of conscience to the rule of the majority. It pronounces belief in God as the source of all moral and spiritual values, equating these values with religious values, and thereby renders sinister, alien, and suspect the beliefs and ideals of your petitioners, promoting doubt and question of their morality, good citizenship, and good faith.
Hello. Yes, you cannot see me because this is a podcast, but I am Millie Brocking.
She is vibing.
I am vibing with Miss Madeline. Okay, she said, you don't have to believe in religion to be a good person. Shut it down. I love that for her.
And the Engel versus Vital, I think, 1962. They ruled that prayers in schools other than Bible readings were unconstitutional. So she had that lawsuit like on her side. And then
she had precedence.
Yes. And then there was a similar lawsuit filed in Pennsylvania, 1963, Abington School District versus, I think it's Shemp, that said mandatory Bible reading and prayer in public schools is unconstitutional. So with these two cases backing her up, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld her case and said mandatory prayer in school is unconstitutional.
We love to see it. We love to see it.
And this is where our boss bitch gains the title Most Hated Woman in America.
Oh, snap. I thought this bitch was going to commit murder.
See, I knew, like, oh, I saw, like, you understand now why I had to change my case.
Absolutely. Because I knew
this was going to rope people in. And it's going to get even more.
I'm shooketh. Because it just shows you where America's at. Because, for example, you know, Myra Hindley, who is a terrible serial killer slash psychopath who murdered babies and children. She's the most hated woman in the UK, in England, but our most hated woman here in America, it's who allowed the kids in school not to be forced to say prayer.
Yep.
Now, if they had been praying to a Quran or anything else,
yeah, we know where that sentence ends.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Wow.
So the city of Baltimore, they weren't too happy with Miss Madeline and her successful court case.
Of course they weren't.
So she received mail that had photos. I don't know what the photos were, but these photos were covered in feces. Their pet kitten was killed.
Shut up.
Their home was stoned. Like, people actually threw stones at her because they were living with her mom. Like, they threw stones at her mother's house. And she blamed the events for what caused her father's fatal heart attack.
WWJD, my friends. What would Jesus do? Let me tell you, it's not that. Y'all got fucked up ideas about Jesus that I do not understand. Y'all don't get religion.
And Madeline,
y'all don't get it.
Madeline was a bitch fed up with this.
Hello.
Because she allegedly assaulted 5 police officers. I will tell you why she allegedly assaulted these police officers.
Oh, why?
So little Bill is now Big Bill. He's got a girlfriend named Susie.
Big old Bill.
Bill
and Susie. I love that.
Little Bill got a ring. Susie. Yes. So, Susie was a minor and considered a runaway by the police and her parents. And Susan was in Madeline's home.
Oh.
And the police wanted to
take her. Wait, how old was Bill? Hold on.
Bill, hold on. This is...
How big was Bill? tell me how big he was.
Okay, 1963... He was born...
I'm making Kat do math.
Was this man like 20-something years old and had a minor for a girlfriend?
Oh, good God.
Never mind. Please. Call the police. Call the police. Hold on. I have to double check this now. Holy crap. Oh my God. How old was Bill?
Kat cannot do mental math. She is pulling out a pen. She is pulling out paper.
I'm a visual learner. Got it. He was born in 1946. I can do this. Okay. So, I'm guessing this happened in 1963. Okay, so we're going to carry the one. Okay, I'm carrying the one. Okay, make that a 5. Okay.
He was 17. Shots.
He was 17.
Oh, okay.
Oh man, I was sitting here like, wait, was this man 20-something years old? No.
False alarm, guys. He was only 17.
He was 17. It's fine.
Big Bill was medium Bill still. He was medium Bill. He wasn't big
yet. He was medium, yeah. Wow, that was stressful.
Okay, so she's a runaway. She's a minor. She's in Susan's house. What is this bitch's name? Madeline. She's in Madeline's house.
Oh,
the math really threw me off. That was so funny.
Don't take that moment and just imagine me at like 10 years old trying to do all that with my dad trying to help me. There were many nights crying at the kitchen table.
Oh, poor Kat. The math traumatizes math children.
Math hard.
Me no like.
No like. Sad. Yeah. Sad cat. Okay. Okay. So back to our bad bitch, Madeline, who could probably do math because she went to law school.
That means nothing.
So Susan and Bill, they got a little wow wow and had a daughter named Robin.
Oh.
Yes.
They were way too young. They were mere babies themselves.
The wee babes are having babes. So Madeline ended up adopting her granddaughter. Okay. And like that, everything was like good. Like,
okay.
It was good. Yeah. Good things going on.
She was helping her son out. Yeah, I appreciate
she was.
That.
So in 1963, she and her family, they moved to Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. And with all of the, I guess, publicity.
Whew, this is a tough episode for Miss Murder.
So because of all the sensationalism about her court case, Madeline created the American Atheist Association.
Oh, hello.
Which has been described as a nationwide movement which defends the civil rights of non-believers, works for the separation of church and state, and addresses issues of First Amendment public policy.
Yes.
Yes. So I was like, yes, bad bitch. I'm all for the separation of church and state.
We're here. We still need to learn that today.
Come on. We do. And she filed. So she basically became the public figure for atheist, like she was the face for being an atheist, like atheism, her. So, and this is where I was like, well, let me talk about her accomplishments first before we start getting to the flip side of that bitch coin.
Listen, she was raised in a household that forced religion down her throat. She had two babies by two baby daddies, fought in a war or participated as some sort in a war.
Yeah, something to
help. Got her
participation trophy.
Right, but got her bachelor's, got her law degree, is a bad bitch single mom.
Had her case upheld by the Supreme Court.
Had her, like, literally won a Supreme Court case. And adopted her son's baby to help him out. Like, that is a bad bitch. Those are accomplishments.
It is a bad bitch.
What else did she do? Tell us.
So, there's actually 10 lawsuits that she participated in. So, challenged Bible reading and prayer recitation. Is that a word? Recitation?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Recitation?
When you recite things.
Yes. Thank you for your guidance and help. I appreciate it. In Maryland public schools. I'm in grad school. I can read. Okay, so she also filed a case to force the Federal Communications Commission to extend the fairness doctrine so that atheists could have equal time with religion on radio and television. She also challenged weekly religious services in the White House, challenged open readings from the Bible by U.S. astronauts during space flights.
Okay. Weird hill to die on, but okay.
Yeah, they are considered federal employees. And apparently the crew of Apollo 8 read aloud from the book of Genesis, which she was
That's
like.
That's so meta. That's
you can't
meta.
You can't even do that if you're not on this planet. You are not allowed to do that. The
That's
laws
crazy.
Carry into space. Space Force.
So, like, even if it's their choice to,
I guess I don't
or
know.
Or is it just that they're not forced to read passages, or that they can't?
Because it just so I think she was just saying I don't know. That's where it gets kind of gray. Like. I think because they're considered government employees, like, that's technically bringing religion into government and separation of church and state. I think that's what she's going for.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I just, you know,
Yeah, even if you're you're not going to get away from Madeline, even in space.
Yeah, no, those astronauts, they didn't know what they had coming to them.
Nope.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like, let's say all four people that were there are practicing Christians or whatever, and they decide that because, you know, going out into space, like, that's a big old, like,
that's a huge
monumental
deal.
Like, meta, like, very, yeah, like, life flashing before your eyes kind of deal. Like, if you want to get existential at that moment and
go for it,
you know, read Genesis, like the creation of life itself, you know, quote unquote, yeah, with your fellow Christians, like, go for it. Just
live in that,
like,
moment.
Live in that moment for yourself.
Because that's probably
going to
be like,
you.
That feeling must have been insane.
Right. But if, you know, somebody's there that doesn't feel comfortable with it, then keep it to yourself. It's just that easy. Like, you know, God likes it when you read your Bible and you focus and you concentrate and have that one-on-one time or whatever with him. It's fine. I
sure.
promise you. Nobody's going to die just because you didn't say things out loud.
Everything I know about Christianity and religion is from art history. I am not making that shit up. I didn't touch a Bible until I was, I think I've talked about this before. It was the time that I had to go to that church
friend.
Camp.
Yeah.
And they said God would kill my family in a lightning storm. Yeah. That was the first time I had touched a Bible, and I had no idea what they were talking about. Like, you know, book of this section. Yeah. I was like, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That was a toughie. So she also challenged the inclusion of the phrase "In God We Trust" on U.S. currency.
Okay.
Another lawsuit to have removed from the Texas Constitution a provision requiring a belief in God of persons holding offices of public trust.
So I'm guessing that has to do with, like, you have to swear on a Bible or something. I imagine that's what that means.
Yeah, I think that just says, like, you have to believe in something to be a Texas official.
Right. Like, but that's true. You know, you shouldn't have to swear on a...
Yeah. Like, she was, like, finding things like that. She also challenged the use of national park facilities for the Pope to hold a Roman Catholic mass on the Mall in Washington, D.C., I think she was just, that's her Murray vendetta coming out.
I think, yeah, I was like, this is a vendetta at this
point.
Like,
she's targeting
she's
the little
blood.
Man in the white hat.
Yeah. Damn.
So then she also tried to remove the nativity scene displayed in the rotunda of the Capitol building in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
And she also challenged the full-time employment of an unordained chaplain at a tax-funded county hospital in Iowa. So she had a busy plate. She had a lot going
on
that plate.
When you said at the beginning that she was bitter, like, damn, homegirl's real bitter.
She turned this bitterness into a career.
Yes, she said religion took away my husband or my
future
husband.
So I'm gonna take away religion.
I am going to take it. I'm going to be the Grinch that stole Christmas. That's what she
said. The Grinch that stole Jesus.
Yes. It's the true war on Christmas.
The true war on Christmas is Madeline.
it's Madeline.
Just Madeline. That's all you need to know. She'll be like Krampus, where it's just Madeline. Yes, we'll Photoshop Madeline's face on a Krampus. I shouldn't say that because of what I read later. But anyway, okay. So,
okay,
she also appeared on TV, The Phil Donahue Show. I've never watched him, but he was a TV show host. I think you can probably find clips on YouTube. She also debated Preacher Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street. Okay. And this is where Madeline, I'm like, I think you're, like, just being, a bitch. Oh. Because Phil Donahue, was Catholic, and she basically made fun of him for being Catholic and was, like, very, like, unpleasant. Yeah.
There's
and,
just no need.
Yeah, she said in an interview with Playboy, she described religion as a crutch, and an irrational reliance on superstitions and supernatural nonsense.
It's just like, isn't that the whole point, though, of free, like fighting for freedom of the of religion? Like, it goes exactly. both ways. It goes both ways. Like, you don't want somebody to treat you like you're less of a good person for not believing in something. So you shouldn't do the same for people that share different thoughts than you.
Yep. And she also had an atheist radio program where not only did she criticize religion, she was basically like, if you believe in any sort of higher power, higher being, gods, goddesses, whatever, like, you're a child. Like, grow up. And I was like, that's just...
You grow up, Madeline.
Grow up, Madeline.
All of this because you decided to get in bed with a married man.
With a married Catholic man.
You lie with the dogs, you're gonna have fleas, bitch.
Like, I was like,
good for you and your work with the separation of church and state, but stop being
this
bitter.
Is where we draw the line. I'm like, because I think it's cool that people believe what they want to believe in, and exactly. it fulfills them, brings them joy, happiness.
Like, literally, who am I to say?
Yeah, like, you're doing you, it makes you happy, great, good for you, keep going. Madeline was not like that. Madeline, this is where we get to the side.
Yeah.
So she also had a television show, her own television show, American Atheist Forum. And in 1984, she became the chief speechwriter for Larry Flint's presidential campaign. Do you know who Larry Flint is, Julie?
I have zero clue.
Well, let me tell you. Because in 2003, he was ranked the most powerful person in porn.
I don't know where I thought you were going with that. But it wasn't that. Catherine is literally losing her shit right now. You really got me there.
I read it and I was like... Because I highlighted over his name. I was like, oh, I haven't heard of this guy. What politics does he do?
Man, I think...
He does politics.
Madeline got a little too self-important. Like, ooh. She was like, I cannot fail. She flew too close to the sun. She was Icarus.
Icarus'd. So John, little John, the second son. Mm-hmm. He rose to power and... served as president for the Atheist Association, but Madeline still had all the power. Like, he was
just the figurehead.
He was the puppet.
Right.
Or, yeah, like, he was the face, she did everything.
Right.
Now, we've had Little Bill, Medium Bill, now we're at Big Bill.
Okay.
Big Bill, in defiance to mommy and all of her religion issues, became a Baptist minister.
Oh, I bet that hurt. I bet that stung.
Mama was not happy about that.
Yikes.
Quote, one could call this a postnatal abortion on the part of a mother.
Oh!
I guess. I repudiate him entirely and completely for now and all times. He is beyond human forgiveness.
Maybe you do need a little Jesus in your life, Madeline.
I think she needs a little bit of that fatherly love.
You need a little forgiveness and love in your heart, Madeline. Let me tell you.
Take a sip of the communion wine and relax, Madeline, please.
Take a sip of the communion wine. We're putting that on a t-shirt.
Okay. Wow. And this is gonna, like, this whole story is just, like, it's just gonna keep going. Okay. So, yes, John is now in charge of the organization. Big Bill is now considered postnatal abortion. And
that's a good band name. Postnatal abortion.
Feel like they would just scream a lot about being mad at their parents.
100%.
100%. So, 1990s, the high, you know, the roller coaster going up. Now we're starting to nosedive.
Ooh.
Yes. So her radio show was taken off the air. It sounded like she had like an international range of like chapters for the atheist organization. Mm-hmm. And she was losing those chapters. And Big Bill, he wrote, the last 10 years of her life, she became even more profane and vulgar as the demons she courted got their final hold on her.
Damn. So Jesus was winning.
Jesus
was winning in his fight against Madeline.
Maybe.
I mean, that's how Madeline must have felt.
Keep that question in mind, or that phrase in mind as I continue. Yes.
All right, go ahead.
So, in early 1995, an employee for American Atheists, David R. Waters, he ended up stealing $54,000 from the organization. And he pled guilty. $54,000. Our girl Madeline, she wasn't too happy about that. So she came out and told the world, basically, that when Waters was 17, he killed someone and spent 8 years in prison.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Because doesn't that look like now bad for your whole atheist message, because you now have revealed that you had a known murderer on your staff for 8 years? I'm a take this as a point for Jesus. Proceed.
Jesus and the five stars.
Oh.
Please listen to our episode last week.
Jesus did not die for for Madeline's fifth star. No,
he did not. Please listen to last week's episode to get that reference. Thank you. Okay. So why am I talking about our girl Madeline on a show called Miss Murder? Why am I talking about the most hated woman in America?
So she actually did murder someone.
On Miss Murder, well, let me tell you.
I thought, okay, whew, what a ride.
So, August 27th, 1995. Their chapter for American Atheists is still running, and some employees are looking at the front door, staring at a note. That seems a little odd. The Murray O'Hare family has been called out of town on an emergency basis. We do not know how long Julie's face. Okay. We do not know how long we will be gone at the time of the writing of this memo.
That's not suspicious at all. Is she fucking dumb for a lawyer who's won a Supreme Court case? She's a little dumb.
Now,
I'm angry.
And this was like written on a typewriter, basically taped to the front door. And everyone kind of assumed that the Murray O'Hare family left on their own. And I will tell you why. So, John had a cell phone, and he would make calls to his employees, basically keeping them updated. This went on for 3 weeks, and then the phone calls stopped.
Okay. And I'm at the edge of my seat, Catherine.
So, David R. Waters, who stole the $54,000, he enlisted the help of Paul Carr and Danny Fry to kidnap Madeline, John, and the granddaughter, Robin.
Oh, so they were kidnapped. They're the ones that are going to get murdered? No. Wait, I don't know. Keep going. I have too many thoughts.
Now remember, Robin is William's daughter, Big Bill. Mm-hmm. Big Bill's out of the picture, so they're estranged.
Yeah.
So, four men and two women checked into the Warren Inn in San Antonio, Texas. And it was weird.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Let me tell you, it was weird because their dynamic of kidnapper versus kidnappy victim was described as like a weird family because they would play cards, play games, have philosophical discussions. They would eat takeout together. It specifically mentioned Mexican takeout. So that's, it was weird.
And so
after the family left
for 3 weeks, John was still calling his employees.
Mm-hmm. So that no red flags would be raised.
So, okay. Okay.
Keep now, going. David.
I'm trying to piece everything together.
Yeah, David Waters. Well, he's the ringleader. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to make light of this, but there were times that it was like having to put up with four whiny kids. So basically, the kidnappers were holding Madeline, John, and Robin, and they wanted a $600,000 ransom.
Okay.
So September of 1995, John Murray made a phone call. And he had $600,000 wired from the New Zealand atheist organization to him in the U.S. And you imagine like you're going to get the cash. Mm-hmm. The money was used as gold coins. So they wired the money and then like used it. I don't know how, like, the process for that, but, like, they basically got $600,000 in gold coins.
In gold coins. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's metal as fuck, huh? Get it?
So
coins. Cool. Sorry. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So John, who made the phone call, he went to this jewelry shop. He picked up $500,000 worth of coins, but he never came back to get the remaining $100,000, which they thought was weird. So the family was staying in the Warren Inn, and they were then moved to the La Quinta Inn. And this is where Madeline, John, and Robin were all strangled. The bodies were wrapped up in bed sheets and then stuffed into the van that Dan and his accomplices were using.
But wait, didn't Waters plead guilty to the money theft? Didn't you say that? Am I making that up?
So
was he orchestrating all of this from jail?
No. Like, he was still out and about. I don't know how this time frame worked out. If he, like, pled guilty, and then this was in between the time. Let me look that up.
Like, did he not get convicted?
No,
he pled guilty. So maybe he just got like a really small sentence.
I think he did get a small sentence. Let me double check this. Checking the sources. So it just said that he had pled guilty earlier that year. So he probably did get a short sentence. Yeah, he probably got a short sentence and was out. Yeah.
I figured maybe he just like hadn't like started his sentence
yet. Yeah, like that time frame. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, so I'm guessing this happened like maybe January, February, because this is the kidnapping happened in August.
Okay.
And then the money transfer in September.
Okay, got it.
So after they killed Madeline, John, and Robin, the three guys, they basically flipped over everything in the hotel room looking for anything that could be left behind. And Madeline had hidden a note so that if they left the room, the next occupant would have found it. And they took the note.
Damn, Madeline thought she was being sneaky.
Yeah.
She thought she was going to get avenged.
Yep. So they drove to Austin, Texas. And this is where they dismembered the bodies of Madeline, John, and Robin and placed them in 55-gallon metal drums.
Oh my God.
And then David and Paul turned on Danny. They shot him and cut off his hands and his head.
Oh my God. That's insanity.
So they threw Danny's hands and his head in the burial with the metal drums and then basically dumped his torso on the Trinity River.
I'm speechless right now.
So, August of 1996, so basically 1 year later, mm-hmm. there's a reporter, Jack McCormick, and he's basically told, hey, do a story because, you know, 1 year ago, the leaders of the atheist organization disappeared. So, he did the interview, talking to people, mm-hmm. and then in November, he got a tip from someone saying you need to look at their tax documents. And that's where he found the $600,000 transfer from New Zealand to the U.S. So then McCormick got an investigator. And
you're telling me that it's a whole year and some months later.
Mm-hmm.
And these people went missing.
Mm-hmm.
After somebody had just been convicted of trying to steal money from their organization.
Yep.
And the police didn't think to look at the bank records, the wire history, the tax records. Is that what you're telling me right now?
She was the most hated woman in America.
But like, damn. She didn't deserve an investigation?
There's somebody, I think... Yeah, there was a reporter that came forward and was basically like, the police fucked this up. Like, you did not take, like, you really fucked this up. Like, something was wrong. And it took you over a year after a reporter came forward and found shit. So, yeah. So, he and this investigator, they tracked down phone records. And they were able to find the jewelry shop where John picked up the gold coins.
Oh, snap. And there's still that $100,000 left.
Yeah. And then, 2 years later, in 1998, McCormick got another tip saying that the O'Hares were kidnapped at gunpoint by someone either named David Walters or David Waters. Now, this person claimed to be someone close to Danny Fry. And they said, hey, Danny disappeared the same time as Madeline, John, and Robin. Something's not right.
Damn.
So in October of that year, there was a headline about the 3-year anniversary of a headless and handless corpse discovered on Trinity River.
And do we know who that was? We do.
And in 1999, the FBI arrested Waters and Carr.
Ooh, snap.
FBI, they learned how much Waters hated Madeline. Not Damn. Because of, you know, like, he... So they said they had an affidavit, and in it, he said he told his girlfriend that he wanted to cut off Madeline's toes one by one.
Oh, that is bizarre.
That's very bizarre. Right, that's not like when, I guess when people have their like revenge situations in their head, I don't imagine like this little piggy going to the market with like pliers.
That's, no, I think that's the best way.
No one's going to expect that. You know, they see the pliers. They think you're going to go for the teeth, or, like
the nails.
We're going to go snip, snip, snip to the market. This little piggy ran home. But you're not going to go home because you're kidnapped. So the coins. So Waters and his girlfriend, they had the gold coins. And they put it in this like cheap-ass storage locker. And basically used the money to party. And when they came back to get more coins, the locker was open. And the coins were gone.
Them motherfuckers are stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid. You have $500,000 worth of money in gold coins. Gold coins. They're not, like, you have
I'm to just put imagining it like the, what is it, the picture that I've seen on Twitter where it's like the lock and like somebody puts a Cheeto in there, you know, and then you just like break it. That's probably the lock they had. It probably inspired that meme.
Like, so stupid. So stupid. Yep. I'm glad they were stupid.
Oh, yep. Now, Carr, this man had a record. He had spent 30 years in prison for kidnapping a judge's daughter.
Oh, my God.
So he knew that if he talked, he was going to be in some deep shit.
Yeah.
So he signed an affidavit, said Waters did it, and then Carr was found guilty of conspiracy to commit extortion, traveling interstate to commit violent acts, money laundering, and interstate transportation of stolen property. Now, he was acquitted of conspiracy to kidnapping because at the time, they didn't find the bodies. Like, the bodies weren't discovered until, like, 2001.
So they were only being connected to Danny's case?
Yes. Okay. So it was weird because, like, when I was reading it, it, like, didn't... I guess they technically couldn't charge them with murder because the bodies weren't found.
It wasn't even for that at all.
But now I think it's different. Like, you can be charged for murder if there's not a body, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like you can definitely do that, but yeah, they weren't charged with murder.
This was just solely for the money stuff.
And the kidnapping.
Okay, yeah. Okay, got it.
So Carr was sentenced to two life sentences. And then Waters was sentenced to 20 years as a part of a plea deal. Mm-hmm. Because in 2001, he took the police to where the bodies had been buried in the oil drums. And then 2 years later, he died of lung cancer.
Well, damn. Turned out to be a life sentence after
all.
Jesus said, I'm reclaiming my time.
Jesus reclaimed his time. He reclaimed the fifth star.
He sure did.
He did. Yeah, and there's actually a memorial brick for Madeline, John, and Robin at Luneff Point in Zilker Park in Austin, Texas.
Damn, just one brick.
One brick.
Homegirl won a Supreme Court case, and she just kept one brick. That's a tough.
That's tough. A little tough, yeah. But then in 2013... the first atheist monument to be put out on American government property was revealed in Bradford County Courthouse in Florida, where a 1,500-pound granite bench and plinth. What is a plinth? Is
that like that's? It's like.
Oh yeah, it's the thing.
Yeah, it's like. Yeah, it's just like the I know that what you that see is. At the museum that are angled.
Yeah, I just didn't know that was the word for it. Yeah, look at me. Oh, it's a fancy word for pedestal. That's stupid. Just call it a pedestal. So yeah, there's one, some of her quotes are on there alongside Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, that, now that's a way to be memorialized forever.
Yeah, that's better than a brick in the park.
Yeah, look at Florida doing something right.
Yeah.
You go, Florida. We haven't talked about you in a minute. I know
we haven't. How you doing, Florida?
Y'all did something right. I'm proud of you. That's your one thing, because now you have that Florida man that stormed the Capitol building and was arrested for sitting in Nancy Pelosi's office.
Yeah.
So you take one step forward and then a few steps back, Florida.
Yeah.
You will never
it's get. It's like the Taco Bell strangler, one step forward, two steps back.
Exactly that.
That's what it is. Now, there is a movie based on this case. And can you guess what it's called?
Is it called Madeline?
The Most Hated Woman in America. Currently streaming on Netflix. It's a Netflix original movie.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I need it was to see really that. Good. That's what I watched it when it first came out. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then I saw like her on my Facebook from like a history thing. And I was like, oh my God, I know that person. So yeah, damn, it's a very good movie. Up. Yeah. It definitely does, you know, creative liberties because it's a movie. But it was very good. Very good.
That's crazy that she's the one that was murdered and she's still known as the most hated woman in America.
Yeah. Like if you just write the most hated woman in America, it's all her name.
Damn.
Yep.
Just for wanting some separation of church and state. I mean, albeit for some iffy reasons, iffy bitter, you know, reasons, but still, that's crazy.
Yeah. Seems to fall right where you expect. Slightly better than your average TV movie, while not as good as your typical theatrical release. So if that sounds up your alley and you've got Netflix, go for it, young Padawan.
If you're ready to watch something potentially mediocre, if it's just one of those kind of nights where you can't have anything too good, but something to catch your interest.
But you want to know?
Critics say mediocre.
You want to know who plays our bitch Madeline?
Who?
She is. Hold on. Academy Award winner, Primetime Emmy Award winner, Golden Globe Award winner, two Critics' Choice Award winners, and a Screen Actors Guild Award, Melissa Leo.
I have no idea who that is.
I had no idea who that was either. Apparently she did soap operas, I think, from what I'm reading on here. I don't know.
She's clearly very accomplished.
Oh, she was in Wayward Pines.
Never seen that.
I think it was on Hulu. It was very interesting. It's like one of those weird, isolated society things. But I think the first season I was like, yeah, I like this. And then I just kind of stopped. Because it was like, what the hell am I watching? Wow, yeah. So if that sounds up your alley, go for it. Watch it.
If you're a big Melissa Leo fan.
Yeah. If the Melissa Leo is your stan, go for it.
That is the case.
That's our case. Whew. That didn't go where you thought it was going to go, did you?
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. My mind was in overtime trying to figure out what was coming next the entire time.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm sure everybody will think it's a really exciting case. I think they'll like this one.
I'm still going to do Eileen Wuornos, but like this, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. It was the perfect time. Yes. So let's do our ABCs of crime, Catherine. What do we have for today? Ladies and gentlemen, this week's episode has been brought to you by the letter C.
C.
For Catholic guilt, a.k.a. the thing that prevented Madeline from getting the happily ever after
that she wanted
and thought she deserved. And Catholic guilt.
It's a thing.
It'll make you impregnate somebody, but then not enough to leave your wife, and then that person will go on to resent religion for the rest of her life and do everything in her power to ban any type of religious showings anywhere, and she's just gonna treat you like you're a lesser person for believing in something other than Bittermint. And then she's gonna really end up getting hated by one of her employees who tries to steal all her money and then kidnap her and her kid
and her granddaughter.
And yeah, Catholic guilt. It can trigger lots of things, so.
It can. You never know what kind of domino effect you're going to get.
Oh, God. We're going to hell. Okay.
At least we'll be together in the fiery pits of hell.
We will. We will be there together. We will. You and I.
We'll be there shit-talking Satan.
Yeah. Satan's going to want to get rid of us.
He is.
Oh, that was excellent. Love that. Well, Catherine, plug our socials.
I shall. So, if you liked what you hear, then you're going to like what you see on our Instagram.
Oh, clever.
Yeah, so you can give us a little follow at ms.murder_podcast, because we are on the Instagram. We are on the Facebook, where we post photos of the people. Oh my God, I'm annoying. That are involved in these crimes. The perpetrators, the victims, all that jazz. We love jazz on Miss Murder.
You and me will be anxiously, not you as in Catherine, like you the listener,
yes,
as well as myself, Julie, will be anxiously awaiting the post, because I'm very excited to see what this woman looks like, because I haven't looked her up yet. Just so, because I feel like I have an image of what I think she looks like in my mind. Just like,
I don't think it's going to match
A very stern brow. I don't know, like very piercing eyes. I don't know.
Like, I'm going to end you eyes.
Yeah.
I'm going to end any legal argument you may have.
I'm excited to see the photos. I hope that my imagination is.
Let it run wild.
Validated. Yes.
Yeah, so poor Big Bill. He lost his family. And he's still alive.
Well, his mother did call him a postnatal abortion, so.
Yeah, that's like. That's a little
harsh.
At
least we didn't do pee for postnatal
abortion. Oh my God.
That would have been bad.
That would have been so bad.
We're fucked. We're fucked up.
Totally fucked. It's a great song.
Yeah. But yeah, everyone, thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in.
And we'll catch you on the flippity flip.
We will. Flip, flop, flippity floop.
Good night.
Good night.